Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till you're home from the hospitals and back from over there. Hello, gang. I'm Hi Aberback, and here's another session of Command Performance. Yes, sir, a half hour loaded to the brim with answers to all that mail care of Armed Forces Radio Service, Los Angeles, USA. And running the program tonight, we have PFC John L. Kendall's favorite star, a master showman of radio, stage, and screen. You know, fellas, some people sock their money away in banks. Others bank their money away in their socks. I wouldn't say which alternative this man takes, but here he is now, Rudy Jingle Toes Valley.
I love you just the way you are. I wouldn't change a thing in you for what have I to bring to you but love. I glow all over when you smile. I tremble when you touch my hand. You think I only understand my heart. The time I've ever kissed you was sweet as could be. Some sweet as could be. That's why I love you. And when I hold you in my arms, I begin to drift so far. I love you just as you
Valley vocalizing. That was swell.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you, Hi. Well, I'm very glad to be here. You know, something very pleasurable happened on my way in. I was held up by a mob of beautiful girls.
Oh, fans, huh?
Yes, and I have high hopes for a singing career. One of the little darlings compared me to Frank Sinatra.
Sinatra? Oh, no kidding.
Yes, he said, Mr. Valley, compared to Frank Sinatra, you stink.
No, I...
However, I took it very graciously. Just as Sid Grauman would. In fact, if you go outside, you'll find her head print in the cement.
Well, suppose we get to the mailbag, Rudy, huh?
That's a good idea. I'll tear open the letter.
Now, I'll tear open the letter.
Oui, oui, Marie.
Oui, oui,
oui. Oui, oui.
Oui, oui. Oui,
oui. Good Lord, what was that? My mistake. I opened a French postcard. Let's give it. What's your first letter?
Why, it's addressed to me personally. Imagine that. A wonderful tribute from the mayor of Las Vegas.
Oh, what does it say?
It says, Dear Rudy, I've seen your nightclub act, and I cannot thank you enough for singing your songs and telling your jokes in Las Vegas. When I heard you were coming to Nevada, I jumped for joy when I heard you would appear in Las Vegas. Please accept the thanks not only of myself, but of all the citizens of my fair city.
And that's from the mayor of Las Vegas, huh?
Yes. That's how he spells Las Vegas. R-E-N-O.
Uh-huh. And really, what's that other letter?
This is unbelievable. Three boys in Korea who call themselves Lowbrow, Zoot, Snoot, and Sam write, Ship us a short copy of the sound we love most in the Army. We mean that delectable, wonderful, beautiful sound, the voice of a top sergeant.
Oh, they must be kidding.
Sure they are. So instead, let's pretend to the fellows who prefer beautiful girls to top sergeants. There are such boys, you know. And dress up the show with a visit from a brand new glamour gal.
Oh, well, who's that, Rudy?
Well, she's a very beautiful young lady indeed. One of the listeners' top pin-up favorites. After making just one movie, mind you, she became a full-fledged star. Here she comes to twinkle an old command, Dorothy Papik.
Why, thank you. And hello, gang. And Rudy, so who's your friend over there?
Oh, this is Hi Averbank. Hi, do you like Dorothy?
She certainly is a she.
Thank you.
Naughty, naughty.
What's wrong? Didn't I do anything?
Honey, you don't have to.
Down, Averbank, down.
Dorothy, I must admit, you...
I must admit, you surprised me. Somehow I expected you to be about 18 feet tall, skinny, and with a head that comes to a point.
You did? How come?
Well, I guess that's because at the movies, I always sit in the first row on the side over there. Now, Dorothy, I hear you're working very hard at MGM these days. What are you working on?
The high wall.
You're working on the high wall?
Mm-hmm.
Could I help you with that?
Well, why? What could you do?
I'd be very glad to hold the ladder.
Dorothy, don't let Valley get into your picture.
Why not? I think he's pretty good.
Listen, the last movie he made wasn't released. It was Parole. Listen, hey, you. Cary Grant says I'm a great dramatic actor. Dorothy, I'm willing to audition for you right now. Just so happens that I have with me a fine drama of the Kentucky Hills. Are we ready?
Ready, Zeke. Leave us proceed. Well, now, here we go to the simple log cabin of the simple Valley family. Let's walk up the hill and open the door of the log cabin.
Get that door. You're letting out all the smoke.
That bear was Ma Valley. Pa Valley, as usual, is indulgent in frantic, energetic activity.
Pa, if you must sleep with your head on the fireplace, at least close your mouth. I don't want nothing to happen to your new celluloid teeth.
Ain't nothing going to happen to my new celluloid teeth. They're firm. I can crack nuts with them.
Oh, what happened?
Sudden marshal.
Say, Ma, where's our son Willie?
Willie? He went down to the barn to do some milking.
Milking? Why, that boy ain't got enough sense to milk. There's five things you got to remember when you milk the cow.
Five things, Pa?
Yep. First thing you got to remember is to put the bucket underneath the other four things.
Land of Goshen, who can that be?
Help! Help! Save me! Save me! I'm hiding from the sheriff at his clubhouse. I'm not bad. I didn't mean to wreck that train or shoot them revenuers or hit my grandma with that axe. I'm a good boy. I'm just nervously madly just. Get the sheriff, quick. Hide me, please.
Come on, stranger. Come on, stranger. I'll hide you while they'll never find you. Help me boost him up inside the chimney, Ma.
Okay, Pa.
Now, just throw a few more logs in the fire, Ma. No one will ever think to look up there. Ma, unlatch the door and see who's there.
Well, it's only our son, Willie. Willie, are you tired from milking the cows?
Shucks, Ma. I done it the hard way with the help of my baby brother.
Now, how can your baby brother help you with the milking?
Oh, it's simple, Ma. He just hangs on tight and I tug the toes up and down. Say, Pa, that brindle cow, she's ailing again.
Yeah, what's ailing her?
Yeah, you know how she eats lemons when she wants to give cow milk? And how does she eat malt when she wants to give malted milk?
Yep.
Well, today she ate 3 pounds of chocolate, 2 cakes ice, and 6 little lumpers.
Heavens to Betsy, what happened?
She just saw her plumber out trying to give good humor.
Well, son, let's sit down to a dinner of corn liquor.
Hey, Pa, don't you think we should offer some to the feller in the chimney?
He don't need none, Ma. He's already fried.
It's a sheriff.
All right, Paul Valley, you're harboring a dangerous criminal in this house. You're under arrest. Anything you say will be held against you.
Anything?
Yes, anything.
Dorothy Patrick. Dorothy Patrick. You see, demented. Now, look here, Jive. Don't get excited. I've already clapped that crook.
Where is he? I want to grill him.
That's been took care of, too. I suppose I get the big reward for catching him.
Oh, no. It was my bloodhound that chased him up yonder, and the dog gets the reward.
What? That means the old thief getting the hound?
Careful, Pa. The dog don't like what you're saying.
Oh, who's afraid of that moth-eaten flea bag?
Oh, they say that dog's a man-eater.
They say he's what?
They say he's a man-eater.
Man-eater? That toothless bag of bones? I'll turn him inside out. I'll tie him limb from tail.
Look out, Pa! Look out, Pa! Well, Sheriff, don't just stand there. Sheriff, don't just stand there. Give that poor dog some bicarbonate of soda.
Well, that's what I call a beautiful hunk of drama.
Well, now, Rudy, I've been digging into the mail, and we have a letter here from Charlie Isaacs, who once served in the Coast Guard with you. He wants to know if you miss the old Coast Guard life.
Well, hi, being in the Coast Guard gave me many wonderful experiences. One of the finest was when our ship put into the charming land of Costa Rica.
I hear you had a little trouble on the way, though, Rudy.
Oh, yes, you did. The ship ran out of water, and I had to wash my pants in Lord Talbot.
In Talbot?
Yes. That one time my pants really got tight. When I put them on, I almost became a man of extinction. But I did have a grand time in Costa Rica.
Well, Rudy, you'd have had a better time if you'd taken me along. You know, I speak Spanish like a native.
Speak Spanish like a native, huh?
Oh, fluently.
That's very interesting. Because tonight we have with us a visitor from that good native Costa Rica. A lovely senorita, in fact, a good neighbor to have no matter where you are. He's a basic Latin American songbird and composer, Lolita Castagnaro.
Lolita, piquito de oro, lo investito que sos mi bien. Mírame, Solita linda, con tus ojitos que puedo ser. No importa si ellos me queman, porque a quemarme me dan su amor. Quisiera estar a tu lado, eternamente y no pensar. Y solita già te balanza, solita già te patrà, solita verassia, tu bailarà con ritmo e con gran compas. Solita già te balanza, solita già te patrà, solita verassia, tu bailarà con ritmo e con gran compas.
Bravissima! Bravissima! Encantadora, Lolita. You're really grand.
I'll say, which, fellas, brings us the highlight of tonight's show? We're ready with an offering that brings Rudy and a lot of personal pride. Right, Rudy?
Yes, indeed, Dorothy, because we're now going to present two young comedians whom I've had a great deal of faith and whom I had the privilege of introducing to the American radio audience in my own program 2 years ago this month. Since that time, they've been given their own radio show, and from what I can gather from the boys down at the cigar store, Sweeney and March are America's newest and most successful comedy team.
And gang, here they are now, Bob Sweeney and Hal March.
Welcome, welcome to Command Performance, fellas.
How you do, Mr. Valley?
I think you've said about enough already.
What's the trouble, fellas? Why the argument?
No argument, really, Rudy. It's just that I can't convince Bob here that in order to be a great radio comedian, you have to do a little reading.
Oh, yes, I agree, Harold. You should do a little reading.
Excuse me, Rudy. Bob, I know a good book that you might be interested in reading.
Oh, what's that, Hi?
Well, it's a book entitled 2 Years Before the Mass, written by Richard Dana.
Oh, what's it about, Hi?
Well, it's a sea story about a brutal captain and a weary crew.
Well, how does it begin?
Well, on the first page, the author begins the story by saying, "My name is Richard Dana. I am the author of a..." "My name is Richard Dana. I am the author of the book 2 Years Before the Mass. And this is a story of inhuman brutality aboard an American merchant schooner in the year 1836. In order to obtain the material for this book, I was forced to sail on a ship owned by the Boston shipping firm of Samuel Hines. Our ship was named after his daughter, Nancy B. The skipper was an evil monster who drove his crews with a lash in pursuit of one thing: speed, speed, and more speed. His sole desire was to possess the fastest ship on the open seas. This beast was Captain March.
"And there's your filthy swab. Break out the senator, hoist the mainsail. I'll break the record of the Molly Hour. I'll feed your rotten cargo to the shark."
Second in command aboard this hell ship was the cruel and equally ruthless second-rate first mate Sweeney, a terror of the sea.
Watch it, you guys.
"My name is Richard Dana, and my story begins when I first encountered these two sinister figures on the dark and gloomy waterfront in Boston. They were recruiting a new crew for the Nancy B.
Here comes a future member of the Nancy B crew, Sweeney. Now remember, I'll stop him and you take care of him with this blackjack. Remember, let him have it.
Don't worry, sir. I'll let him have it.
All right. Evening, mate.
Good evening, sir.
You got a cigarette?
Yes, I can let you have one. I've got one right here.
All right, Sweeney, blackjack, let him have it.
Here you are, mister.
Oh, blackjack. Thank you.
Not at all, compliments to the Nancy B.
Sweeney, did you give our blackjack to him?
Is that what you told me?
Well, get it back. Great Shanghai, are you?
Yes, sir.
Are.
Hey, mister, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry to bother you, but you see, we're Shanghai and some guys, and I'm going to need the blackjack. So, would you let me have it, please?
Certainly.
What happened, Sweeney?
He let me have it.
Good. Are you hurt?
I don't think so. Is my pomade bleeding?
No, you're all right.
Should have made that Vaseline or something. Pomade isn't very good. Is my pomade bleeding?
That's much funnier.
Yeah, that's pomade jokes are always very great.
Yeah. All right, sweetie. To get back to the script, here's another guy. I don't muff this one.
Don't worry.
Evening, mate.
Good evening, sir.
You got a cigarette?
Yes, I can let you have one. You got one right here.
All right, sweetie, the blackjack, let him have it. Matt?
Would you take your hat off, please?
What for?
I think you have a little dandruff.
Oh. Really?
My name is Richard Dana. I have a terrible headache. This is our third day at sea, and I have resigned myself to an unpleasant voyage aboard the Nancy Bee. The brutality of her captain and first mate are almost unbearable. And besides, their navigation stinks. We're lost.
Hey, Twain, give me a reading on the compass there. I want to see if our barnacles are parallel with the equator.
What were you, a sea scout? Aye, aye, sir. Let's see now. Reading on the old compass here, let's see now. Is the longitude is 45 and the latitude is 68.
Yeah. Check longitude 45, latitude 68. Yeah. Let's see the map here, Second Sweeney.
Yeah, take a look at the map. Yeah.
Sweet. Sweeney, do you see any yard goods or pots and pans off the starboard bow?
No, sir. Why?
According to this map here, we should be in the basement of Sears and Roebuck. Tell you what, Twinny, better take a sounding. Put out the sounding line.
Aye, aye, Captain March.
Good boy.
Sounding line reading 901. 902.
What's that, Twinny?
903, Rod. That's a sneaky one,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
Had to go fast to beat that fellow over there with that one. Oh, that's bad, Sweeney. That's bad.
That's not good, huh?
No, that's bad.
That's bad, yeah.
At the rate we're going, we'll never break that record. Grab the man, Sweeney. Grab him. Speed is what I want. Speed.
I bet your name is Richard Dana.
My name is Richard Dana.
I knew it!
The captain is still sacrificing his crew for a speed record. The food is terrible. Men are dying like flies. Could it have been that DDT we had for breakfast? No, I've had enough. I'm going to speak with the captain.
All right, you men, lend a hand and heave to. And if you other men feel like that, get over there and heave to. What is it, Dana?
I'd like a word with you, sir.
What about?
The food, sir. We can't stand it any longer.
Dana, you're a troublemaker.
But, sir, how do you expect us to do our work on this flop you're feeding us?
You'll do it, Dana, because I tell you to. That's how.
Well, Captain March, I'm telling you right now that the men will have better food, or my name isn't Richard Dana. My name is Henry Johnson. We had been at sea for 40 days without sighting even a seagull. And then one morning...
Captain Mark, come over the deck quickly, sir.
What's trouble, Twinny? Are the men out of hand?
Also, we've just decided to stretch flag off the port yard arm. There's a woman.
Woman, how do you know?
The distress flag is a two-way stretch. That's dirty.
It must be something. All right, Sweeney, on deck and we'll rescue her.
Yes, go, come on.
This is the criminal show.
Woman coming alongside with gym shoes.
Drop the ship's ladder. Man overboard. It's only the sound man, don't worry.
Didn't we have a woman here a minute ago?
Yes, she's still
there. There she is.
All right, ma'am. Just grab that ladder and make your way aboard. There you are, ma'am. Now you're safe and sound.
Oh, thank you, boys. Thank you. I've been marooned in that raft for 40 days.
40 days? How'd you eat?
I made promises to a seagull.
Madam, I'm Captain March of the good ship Nancy B.
Mmm, handsome, too.
Madam, I'm First Mate Twinney of the good ship Nancy B.
Mmm, isn't that a shame?
Enough, Quinny. Take this lady down to her quarters.
Well, what quarters?
That's right. We don't have any extra rooms, do we?
Yeah.
Sorry, ma'am. You'll have to be quartered with the crew. Do you mind?
Not if the crew doesn't mind.
Take her below, Sweeney, and explain to the men.
Aye, aye, sir. Aye, sir. Follow me, miss. All right, you guys. All right, now quiet. Now, come on, you guys. Stop that. Oh, please, guys. Gee whiz. Now, listen, you guys. I got something to say, and I want you to listen carefully. We just rescued this woman here from the open sea. And there isn't any spare room on the ship except here. So she'll have to stay with you guys. Now, how do you feel about that?
No, we don't want to go up on the door. Get her out of here.
Cut that out, Father. The captain don't want you to be like that.
What's going on down here, Sweeney?
Come back a mutiny, Captain. The men won't let this woman share their quarters.
Oh. So they won't let this lady share their quarters, eh? Is that right, men? It is funny, isn't it? Is that right, men? You refuse to let this woman share your quarters?
Oh.
Now, why'd you do that, boys? I've tried to be nice to you, and now here you go and get insane.
Thank you very much, Bob, Hal, and the recording players. And now we really are at goodnight time. We've had a lot of fun filling your mail orders, gang.
Tonight those letters brought in Lolita and Dorothy Patrick and Sweeney and Marsh.
And Rudy Valley.
And the expert presence of one high Averback. Keep the letters coming, boys. We'll keep trying to fill the orders to the best of our ability. You know, we really feel privileged to be asked in.
So, until next time, gang, the best of luck to you. Good night.
Whatever are, good night.
This program is arranged with the aid of the Hollywood Coordinating Committee. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.